produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Very, very good day. It's my pleasure once again, Pearl Coupe, to be with you on our weekly program, Ambassador of Change. This is a program that's intended to provoke you to just begin to get us to understand that each and every person is supposed to be an ambassador of change for God. And we have this weekly program every Saturday at 6:30, 18:30, using CAT, Central African Time, or on SAST, which is South African Standard Time. Every Saturday at 6:30 p.m., we have this program, a program that's intended to begin to share the Word of God and make sure that you and I are aligned in our kingdom purposes and in our kingdom mandates. So it's my very great pleasure to be sharing with you again today. And today I just felt led to share on the fruit of the Spirit, on the fruit of the Spirit. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit, what it is, and the importance of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we're going to start just by reading Galatians 5, 22 and 23, because that's the scripture that sets out the fruit of the Spirit, what it is, and we'll take it from there. So Galatians 5, 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." I'm going to read it one more time. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, if you were counting while I was just busy enumerating the fruit of the Spirit, you would have realized that there are actually nine fruit of the Spirit. And what is interesting with that is that the gifts of the Spirit, we're just talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, there are also nine gifts of the Spirit. So essentially we have fruit of the Spirit and we have gifts of the Spirit. When we go to the gifts of the Spirit, and we can find the gifts of the Spirit contained in 1 Corinthians 12 verses 1 to 8. And the scripture reading for that says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom," that's our first gift, "for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit," that's our second gift. Verse 9, "to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we've gone through the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we found out that the nine gifts are the word of wisdom. Second one is the word of knowledge. Third one is faith, the gift of faith. Fourth one is the gift of healing. Fifth one is the gift of miracles. Sixth one, gift of prophecy. Seventh is the gift of discerning of spirits. The eighth one is the gift of diverse tongues. And the last one, ninth one, is the interpretation of tongues. So what I was saying initially to you is that there are nine gifts of the Spirit, but there are also nine fruit of the Spirit. So there's a correlation between the gifts of the Spirit, which are often known as the power gifts. These are the ones that demonstrate God's power. There are nine gifts of the Spirit, but there are also nine fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are more character. They're relating to character as opposed to the power. What's interesting is many of us, many believers, are interested in the gifts of the Spirit. We will pray for, you know, all the power, the gift of healing, all those things, a gift of prophecy, the word of knowledge. We will pray and we're seeking and we're looking for those gifts. But very few of us actually pursue the fruit of the Spirit. And what is very interesting is that the fruit of the Spirit, the power gifts, are, you know, they speak to demonstration of power. But the fruit of the Spirit speak to demonstration of character, of character. And I want to say from the outset that God is interested in our character. Many of us pursue power, and power without character is extremely dangerous. Power and anointing without character, when it's not balanced by character, is extremely dangerous. And this really, message is an encouragement for us to know that the character gifts are so, so important. What is going to sustain us in our journey walk with the Lord is the character, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what brings the balance in us. That's what ensures that we don't become proud. That's what ensures that we don't become arrogant. That's what ensures that we don't step out of God's will. It's the character fruit of the Spirit that ensures our sustainability, ensures our longevity, ensures that we can continue to walk along that path of righteousness, is the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, sorry. And fruit speaks to character. So all those nine things that are being spoken of, love is a character issue. Joy is a character issue. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all issues that relate to our character. And we need to work on these things. We need to pray. We need to meditate on God's word. We need to demonstrate discipline and self-control so that the fruit of the Spirit can manifest in us. The power gifts come by Holy Spirit, and so does the fruit of the Spirit. Also comes by fruit of Spirit. I was trained in law, and in law we have a certain terminology, and we talk about when you go to court and you're trying to prove a case, that sometimes, usually, they will require that you present evidence, which can be in the form of documentation, which can be in the form of verbal testimony. There are many ways which you can produce evidence before the judge of your case, to support your case. And sometimes we refer to that evidence as exhibits. So we will label the evidence and talk about one document may be referred to exhibit A, exhibit B. That is the evidence you now produce before the court to support your case that you are bringing before the court. And so what I often say, because, you know, we often will use our experience to explain scenarios. And for me, the fruit of the Spirit is the Exhibit A. It's the evidence that you have Holy Spirit in you. The evidence is your levels of love, your levels of joy, your levels of peace, your levels of long-suffering, your levels of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You cannot have Holy Spirit abiding in you and be somebody who's filled with hatred, be somebody who's filled with bitterness, be somebody who's filled with anger, be somebody who's, you know, just very impatient all the time. I have no control, no discipline. Holy Spirit, when He is truly in you, He begins to manifest Himself in you through showing all these character traits. These character traits are now the Exhibit A of you having Holy Spirit in you. So the fruit speak to character. And it's very interesting to me that God, you know, speaks about character. And as I've said, the fruits are the real testimony, the real evidence of Holy Spirit in us. In fact, God said in His word in Matthew 7, verses 16 to 20, He said, "You shall know them by their fruits." You shall know them by their fruits. And so let's continue reading. It says from verse 16, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." By their fruits you shall know them. That's very important because God is saying that, look, there are power gifts out there. And many of us try to determine who real men and women of God are by looking at the demonstration of power. Some of us look to their eloquence. Are they good preachers? Can they talk well? Can they talk fast? Can they talk loud? God did not say, "You shall know them by their speech, by their eloquence, by their intellect." Some of us are drawn by intellect. Some of us are drawn by what appears to be wisdom. And that's the standard that we use to determine whether somebody is a true vessel or genuine instrument of God. And that's not the test that should be applied. God has given us a test to be applied. Some of us use the size of a congregation. You know, many men and women of God will describe or put on their bio the size of the congregation, of people that are within the congregation that God has given them to steward. And they'll say, "Pastor of 5,000 member congregation." Well, I have news for you. God did not say, "You shall know them by the size of their congregation." So whether there's a 5,000 congregation that you've been given oversight over, or whether you have three people, that is not the standard on which we should base the genuine aspect of, is this person a real son of God? It's not about the cars they drive. It's not, some of us are drawn to people who are wealthy, drawn to pastors who are flashy dressers, you know, the latest suits. And we begin to go to that service because the pastor impresses us with his look, with his look. God did not say you shall know them by their looks, by their suits, or by their shiny shoes. He said, "You shall know them by their fruits." By their fruits. It's not by how charismatic they are, but it's by their fruit. So character, we have to interrogate one's character. If we really want to know, is this a true vessel of God? Is this a real son of God? Is this somebody who's genuine? Is this a true prophet, not a false prophet? Because in this scripture that we've just cited, Matthew 7, verse 16 to 20, the scripture was actually, before this scripture, it was talking about false prophets and the existence of false prophets. And then it now comes to verse 16 to 20 to say that, how how will you be able to distinguish between false prophets? Well, you can distinguish between them by knowing their fruits. And that's the importance of that. So fruit, that's why it's important for us to look to the fruit, to check and see what is somebody's fruit. So somebody could be a very powerful preacher, very, very eloquent. And we see this happening many times in this dispensation. We see people who are gifted in terms of preaching. I mean, they are serious preaching machines. But that same person, if they can preach like, you know, a preaching machine and just spitting out bullets, but that same pastor is sleeping with young girls in the congregation, that same pastor is known for lies, or that same pastor has a problem with anger, is not kind towards the people he's been given, the sheep he's been given to steward, then that's a problem. Because the standard and the benchmark that God has given us to examine and use on fivefold ministers to ascertain whether they are truly of him, the standard was set in Galatians 5:22-23. Check their fruit. Check their levels of love. Check their joy levels. Are they always looking sad? Do they look like they've been baptized in lemon juice? Are they always downcast? Or do they have joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So those are fruit levels. Check the fruit levels. Do they have high fruit levels? Because that's the standard and the benchmark that God has given us to test whether we are true son of God and whether we are real vessels and instruments of God. Check their character. Check their fruit level. And that is something that we need to look at. Now, I've always been very curious to find out, why did God specifically say, we shall know them by their fruit? Why didn't he say that you shall know them by the demonstration, just only the power gifts? Why not? Well, one thing I've discovered is that the enemy or the devil can mimic signs and wonders. When we go back, you know, to the early days, we find that if you read about the account between Moses and and Pharaoh's magicians, you remember now when God had sent Moses now on the mandate to release his people from the captivity of the Egyptians, that even during that time, there were so many periods of plagues and all sorts of things that were happening. And each time, oftentimes when God would work a demonstration of power through Moses, sometimes Pharaoh's magicians would mimic those signs and wonders. And so we need to know that the devil has the capacity also to mimic demonstrations of power. Of course, his source is not Holy Spirit. His source is not from God. It is an occultic source. It is from an altar that is defiled. And so his source is a perverted source. This is not the genuine source of power. We read also and find out about Simon the sorcerer, who got converted. But before he got converted, he was using an occultic source to bring signs and wonders, and people were being mesmerized by the demonstration and gifts, and what they thought were gifts of the Spirit, but were really occultic and magician sorcery. So the enemy can manifest sorcery, can manifest magic, can manifest the occultic. And if you and I are just focused on looking at the manifestation of the demonstration of power, it's easy to be tricked. It's easy to be deceived. And God said, listen, the standard that you should use is not just the standard of demonstration of power, but how you will truly, truly, truly know them is by their fruit. So look to their fruit and use that as a yardstick and as a measuring stick to actually determine whether they are from me or not of me. And you know why? When, like I said, when I meditated on this scripture, I discovered that the devil can mimic demonstrations of power. He can bring it through sorcery and witchcraft and magic. But the one thing he can never, ever, ever do is that he can never mimic. He can never, ever mimic the fruit of the Spirit. The devil does not have the capacity to demonstrate love. He's full of hatred. He does not have the capacity to demonstrate joy. He does not have the capacity to demonstrate peace. In fact, the Bible tells us in John 10:10 what his real mandate was and still is today. It says in John 10:10 that he came to steal, kill, and destroy. So the mandate of the devil is got nothing to do with love. It's got nothing to do with building. It's got nothing to do with peace, but it's got to do with division. It's got to do with bringing strife. It's got to do with tearing down everything that pertains to the kingdom of God. So he cannot manifest love. He cannot manifest joy and peace and long-suffering. He has no self-control. That's why, you know, those who do not have the Spirit of God in them cannot manifest self-control. Many of them are sexually promiscuous. It takes Holy Spirit in you to not be sexually promiscuous, because one of the fruit or exhibit or demonstration of Holy Spirit in you is that you have the power to control your fleshly lusts, to control your sexual desires, to control your temper, all of that. Self-control is one of the 9 gifts. Gentleness, all of that. Faithfulness, if you struggle in the area of faithfulness, you're here today and you're there tomorrow, etc. I would, you know, just put it to you, just pray and ask God to help you in the area of being faithful, because it's one of the key fruit of the Spirit, one of the 9 fruit of the Spirit. So if you're all over the place and always, you know, committing to things and never delivering, and I would say, check your fruit levels. Check your fruit levels. If you are unkind to people, there are people out there who I know who are pastors and are some of the most unkind people. They say the most unkind things. They insult people. They make people feel like they're nothing, you know? And I always wonder at such people, that what kind of a pastor are you? Because kindness is one of the fruit that tells us that you really have Holy Spirit in you. So if you are one of those people who love to humiliate people, if you are one of those people who love to just be patronizing and condescending and always rebuking people, not from a place of love, because there is a rebuke and a correction that comes with love. But if you're rebuking people to humiliate them, then I would suggest that, you know, you ask God to just begin, Holy Spirit, to just search you, search your heart, because kindness and goodness and gentleness are 3 fruit of the Spirit. So that is my really, that's what I wanted to share with you this week. And we're going to close out just with prayer in the last few minutes. And my prayer for you and me, because every time I speak and share with you the Word of God, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching and sharing the Word of God, which is equally for me as it is for you. So I'm just, you know, I'm praying not only for you, but I'm praying also for myself. Just to say, Lord, may the fruit of the Spirit be evident in me. May we just work out our salvation, and may the Spirit of God in us begin to manifest that character, the character of Christ. And so let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that you've told us and taught us, that we are known by the fruit of the Spirit. It's not by our eloquence. It's not by our material possessions. It's not by our salaries or money. It's not by the size of congregation. It's not, Father, by any of those standards which the world uses to measure us. The world uses all these worldly standards in terms of determining whether you are truly a vessel of God. But you've told us that those are not the standards that you use. You use godly standards. You use kingdom standards. And the kingdom of standards that are used to measure whether we are your sons, whether we are your children, whether we are your vessels and instruments of transformation, the standard that is used is the standard that you've laid out in Galatians 5, 22 and verse 23. It is a standard regarding character. It is a standard that pertains to the fruit of the Spirit. And so, Father, we're just praying that whatever, Father, is not aligned in us, whatever anger, whatever hostility, whatever rage may still be in us, we pray, Father God, that, Lord, you will begin to open up our eyes to that. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will search us and know us. We pray the prayer that David prayed and said, search me, Holy Spirit, search me, know my heart, and lead me along the path of righteousness, the path that leads to everlasting life. That's the prayer that we're praying today. Search us and know our hearts. And to the degree that there's iniquity hidden in our hearts, and to the degree that there is still hostility and unforgiveness and hatred and bitterness in our hearts, we ask that you search us by the mirror of your Holy Spirit. Know our hearts. Point it out to us that, Lord, we may begin to deal with those issues in our heart issues. You said, Lord God, that we should guard our heart because out of them come the issues of life. And so, Lord, we guard our heart and we declare that we will not allow bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, all those things. We will not allow them to enter into our heart because we will keep focused on your word. We will read your word. We will meditate on your word. According to Joshua 1:8, the word, Father God, that Lord, we will just meditate on it day and night, and it will not depart from us. And as we meditate upon it, Lord God, it will produce fruit, and that fruit will be the fruit of love and joy and gentleness and self-control and peace and all those fruit there. Let the word of God begin to produce a fruit harvest in us that will manifest the character of Christ in us. Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we give you glory and praise. In the matchless name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach, we thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I look forward to sharing with you again next week. And sharing another life-transforming word of God, because it's not possible to hear the word of God and not be changed. If you listen to it, if you meditate upon it, and if you apply it, you will be forever changed. Meet you and see you next week on Ambassador of Change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Pearl Coupe checking out. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
The voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on our SKM radio station network, Shimikotu Ministries International Radio Network, with our co-producer, Kayla Paget, the voice from Western Australia. In these days, I want to address on a title that I have given, Having Done All. Stand. Chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, and I am reading from verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. I want to repeat that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. How do you stand against an evil day? Paul definitely wants us to be aware of the fact that there will be an evil day. Now, I'm pretty sure you will agree with me that in the days we are living in right now, the whole world has been hit by a pandemic. And therefore, it behoves to say, it requires standing people. Requires men and women that will stand. Requires boys and girls that will stand. Scripture before us, Paul is writing to the book or to the Ephesians church, which we had a clearer understanding of how a Roman soldier was able to stand. And Paul writes this book of Ephesians when he's already in a prison, tied against a Roman soldier. He draws the parallel for us to understand that if we're gonna combat, fight against the enemy that is set against us, there are a few issues we must settle. Number one, we should settle on understanding the nature of our warfare is spiritual. Two, we need to understand that the enemy that we are fighting is an invisible enemy. Three, the weapons that we are to use if we're going to win against the battle against this invisible enemy, visible weapons or physical weapons would not work. We need to stand our ground. That's number one, which is positionally. We need to understand who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, becomes very imperative that we understand that, because in the book of Genesis chapter 3, we understand that the very first question that caused man to lose before God in his battle against the enemy in the temptation in the Garden of Eden was right there. God comes down asking him, Adam, Adam, where are you? It's not a question to do with the location. It was a question that was to do with disposition. If you lose your stand in the things that God has asked you to be and to do, you become meat for the enemy. A lot of people don't seem to understand the nature of the battle that we're understanding. And I would dare say, in the event of whatever we are facing and that which is all around us today called COVID-19, the nature of the battle we are faced up with, one needs to understand. So allow me once again, chapter 6, the verse of 13 of the book of Ephesians, Paul says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Question: how many of us are standing their ground? Adam lost his ground when he moved away from where God had positioned him. Nehemiah, in rebuilding the walls, the enemies were bringing discouragement, they'll bring fear, they'll bring attacks over their lives, mentally and emotionally, to disorientate them so that they'll lose their ground. Ephesians 4, verse 27, the Apostle Paul once again writes to them and he says, do not give place to the devil. For the devil capitalizes on the territories of the ground that you give him. There are many, many things I believe we don't understand concerning the spiritual warfare. And by God's grace, I'm trying to uncover these as we walk together. I've already mentioned to you, Adam's territory was the Garden of Eden. Right there, God had said to him to rule over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, over the creeping creatures that were on the land, animals. The first attack was the ground taken away. Paul reminds us, stand therefore on an evil day. Ladies and gentlemen, the days around us are evil. We are surrounded with a pandemic. That is why the common denominator has been, if you have nothing else to do, don't be found everywhere. Stay at home. Friends, you do need to understand that it is about gaining ground that we're standing upon. One of the things we don't understand as believers is the spiritual warfare. Whatever you see manifesting in the physical, it starts out in the spiritual. What that means, generally, we don't feel it until it manifests in the physical. COVID-19, we do not feel it until it is manifested first in the spiritual. That's where it started. Ladies and gentlemen, as the physical things hit you, they affect you spiritually. And you see it around us. Churches, places of worship has been affected and closed down to try and protect us in terms of our health. But the truth is, the closing down of churches, closing down of places of worship per se, if you're not careful, this has also moved away God's people from their spiritual positioning. Because when the physical things hit, they affect the spiritual. They affect your joy. They affect your prayer life. If a place of worship was where you connected with God, if a place of worship was where you derived your joy, if a place of worship was where you sang and danced, I can tell you right now, your joy has been affected. Your peace has been affected. Your momentum has been affected. But ladies and gentlemen, it is important that you and I understand right now that in the days that we're living in, it is imperative that we understand what is being attacked here. I want you to remove your mind from the place of worship where you used to gather with everybody. And mind you, I do believe we are created for community. We are created to gather together with other believers. The Bible has got over 60 with one another's. So that tells you we are created for community. But I want you to understand something. The devil is after your joy. The devil is after your peace. He will use the circumstances to affect you. And if he's fighting you, then also understand there are spoils to gain. For no one goes to fight or war without thinking, what am I going to come back with from there? Whenever there is a fight, there are spoils to be regained. In this case, territory to be gained. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the evil day, having done all, fully armed and fully equipped. He says, stand. I'm here to say to men and women, brothers and sisters out there, that in these days of COVID-19, may you be found standing. Stand in your faith. Stand in your commitment. Stand against the devil. As the devil attacks, he's after gaining that ground. Warfare in the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, is about gaining ground. If you're back to the book of Genesis, the initial question to men was, where are you? In other words, what's your stand? The essence of that question, God is saying, if you don't know where you are, you will not know why you are going, what you are going in right now. Question that is important. Where are you? Yes, places of worship have been closed, but where are you? Assess first where you are. Assess where you are planted. Assess where you are positioned. Because, ladies and gentlemen, our battle is about two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. Or should I say, it is about the light kingdom or the light kingdom ground versus the dark kingdom ground. It is about the ground you are standing on. The devil will monopolize and he will monopolize you in his territory. He gains you if you are in his territory. That is why the temptation of Jesus Christ, when the devil took him up the high mountain, watch what he says. I will give you all this ground. Sounds familiar? I'll give you all this ground. Kingdoms are given to me. If you lose your ground, if you lose why you are where you are. Ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians 4:27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. My question is, are you on your post? Are you still standing in that place that God has left you? Are you still guarding your post? Christians lose because they are found in the wrong territory. Achan in the Bible was found in the wrong territory. James reminds us and he says, there is no clean spring that can produce both dirty and clean water at the same time. Where are you? Where are you positionally standing? The word says, those who are planted in the house of God, their feet shall flourish in his courts. But only if you know and understand. He's not talking about the four-walled buildings. He's talking about planted in the house of God, having made your body the temple that houses God. David says, he lifted me up from the deep miry clay. He planted my feet, come on now, on the solid ground. Ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative that you understand what the word of God is wanting us to catch right now. God lifts his people up from the deep miry clay. He plants their feet on the solid ground. Where are you? Having done all, stand your ground. There has to be a stability that comes because my relationship with God is intact. There's got to be a stability that says, as I move away from all forms of social media, which is, by the way, a horizontal communication that brings in fear anxiety, disappointment, and living my life with uncertainty and hopelessness. I establish my life vertically with the King of Kings. Where are you positioned? Where you are, ladies and gentlemen, has nothing to do with your choir that you used to sing in. Where you are, ladies and gentlemen, has nothing to do with the worship team that you used to work with. Where you are has nothing to do with your denomination or your ministry that you used to serve in. Where you are has nothing to do with the church. But where you are in God, it is about where you are in your faith. Where you are in your commitment. Where you are in your walk with God. Where you are in your prayer life. Where are you? Has to do with, don't let your feet to slip away. The real challenge is to stand where God has put you. In the warfare, God says, stand your ground. I repeat, in the warfare that we are fighting against, hear the words from your master and your God, and his words are clear. The words are, stand your ground. Don't move. Having done all, stand. Stand has to do with humbling myself, submitting myself unto God, resisting the devil, and the devil fleeing away from me. I call for men and women in such times, when this virus has shut down the systems of the world, in such times when everybody is afraid and everybody does not seem to be knowing what shall happen of their lives, what shall happen of their loved ones, in such times when many of their loved ones, of our loved ones, are being buried, and it's a sad day in the history of the world, I am saying to you and I, stand your ground, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit means let your will be done, oh God. Submit means whatever you will, whatever you want, I will do it. Submit means give me this day what's mine. Might be good, it may be nasty, but Lord, I am ready to stand. Because many a time, we love God as long as we can tell God, this is what we want you to do for us. Many a times, our connection with God is predicated by what things he does for us. But God blesses you to stand your ground. The enemy tempts you for you to run away and move away from your ground. But God blesses you so that you can be properly be positioned. The enemy's desire is to swerve you away, is to move you away. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God says to Joshua as a close, be strong in the Lord. Be strong and be courageous. Take your ground before you possess the land. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't win against that which you don't have authority over. May you learn today, most of your battles, you lose them or you win them, depending on what ground are you standing on. That's a legal term. When you bring your case, they want to know what ground are you standing on? On what ground are you accusing the offender? On what ground are you stating your case? David knew the secret. When Goliath was shouting, and saying, send me somebody to come and fight me. You read in those atmospheres in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where the Bible says, when David looked at Goliath, when he took his sling, he started charging towards him. Time to gain your ground. The ground you gain will determine the spoils you will have back. The ground you stand on will determine your victories. It's time to take back your joy. It's time to take back your peace. It's time to take back what the enemy has taken away from you. It's time to stand your ground as a child of God, because the enemy is after ground, after territory, so that there will be no fruit in you. The ground you are planted in will determine the fruitfulness that you produce. Jesus says, for I am the true vine. And he says, my Father is a gardener. The ground I am planted in will determine the fruits and the productivity that I will grow in. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the opportunity to be with us once again on SKM Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, the co-producer Kayla Paget. We're bringing you weekly in this time. Stand your ground. Don't give in to what the enemy will try to do over your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week. Father, I thank you for your people. Thank you for our radio listeners. And I pray that, God, you'll be with them in these difficult times. I pray that, God, you give them, God, an opportunity for them to stand their ground, knowing very well that God is on our side. And if God is on our side, nobody can stand against us. And I pray, therefore, you bless the families of those that have lost their loved ones. I pray for the frontline defense forces, those that are in the health department, the healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors, oh Lord God Almighty, that are working in the theaters, that are working in intensive care. Lord, may you be with them and make sure you guide them and give them your wisdom, that God, our lives will be the same, and be with our loved ones, those that are suffering and that are panicking. Lord, I pray that your name will continuously be lifted up and your kingdom established in our lives. For this virus can only be overcome by those who stand their ground. We are strong and we are courageous in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.